Good morning, and welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church this morning. This is a service for all people. No matter where you come from, whether you're a guest or a longtime attender, a lifelong churchgoer, or a first-timer, we are glad you're here. We gather in this place to sing and pray and fellowship together. We gather to hear and interpret God's word and to discern its meaning for our individual journeys and our journey as a congregation at this particular moment in time. Let's continue to fill this space with music as we sing together. We'll sing number 63 out of the Prairie Street Sings songbook in the pews. And let's stand to sing this morning. This Sunday marks somewhat of the beginning of a new season in the life of this congregation. Last Sunday was our final Sunday with Pastor Nelson as he leaves this congregation to give more time to his global church responsibilities. I think as with any transition, there is some uncertainty about what lies ahead. But I think there can also be a certain amount of excitement about the new opportunities that will present themselves. And even though today's temperatures wouldn't necessarily confirm that, I think it is spring, and I know that every year around this time, I have a regular reminder of all the hope and excitement that can come with something new. And I am, of course, talking about the new Major League Baseball season. So bear with me as I think that maybe we're entering kind of a spring training phase. At the beginning of a new season. So sure, the rosters may look a little bit different, and we might need a moment to take stock of where we're at and what we need as a congregation, but we're still left with an incredibly talented and devoted team, and there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful and excited about the start of something new. Philippians 4 calls us to rejoice, even in the face of uncertainty. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. God of peace, as we enter into worship this morning, calm our minds and prepare our hearts to receive your word. Help us to see new opportunities that are unfolding in front of us, and give us the courage to act on them according to your will. Help us continue to rejoice and praise you, even in the midst of uncertainty. Amen.
Let's take the blue hymnal and turn to number 100. Number 100. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. And now, if you'll take the Prairie Street Sings again and turn to 39, number 39. And let's stand up to sing this song. Thank you.
Following the news yesterday of the U.S.-led airstrikes on the Syrian capital of Damascus, it feels especially important to confess our belief as Mennonite Christians that we should follow Jesus' example of peace. Jesus preached a reconciling love that did not resort to violence and did not need to strike out in fear to defend ourselves. Our faith does not rely on any particular nation or political institution. We are just called to love those in our nation and those in nations around the world. Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6 says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God, who is over all and through all and in all." I now invite you to stand as one body and one Spirit to hear these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, as we bear with one another in love, so too does God bear with us and have mercy on us, and forgives our sins through our Lord Jesus. Now let's share Christ's peace with one another and with the world, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "And also with you." And I have one extra note this morning. I know there have been a number of illnesses going around the last couple of weeks. And so in this case, we encourage you to maybe bump an elbow or clasp your hands and bow a little bit just as we try to limit the spread of germs. So feel free to do that this morning.
Children's time today is a special event. I invite the children forward as well as our service circle. We've got a great group up here today. Children, let's pass the offering basket. Where is our offering basket? Here it comes around. Ta-da! Wow, and a great group of children. Well, this is very exciting. I need Mildred. That's all right, we'll have Mildred right here. This is a special group, and we have some of the younger people. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And we have some of our little bit older, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I think maybe. So we want you to know what these people do. They're called Service Circle. And Mildred, do you want to tell us when you meet?
Well, we meet the first Thursday of every month. And do you want to know what we do?
Sure.
Well, we do a number of different things. We usually have a quilt in and quilt. We do some knotting of smaller quilts. And we do MCC kits. You're going to hear more about a relief kit this morning. But you remember that we've done school kits and hygiene kits and we did a sewing kit. MCC has many different kits. And one of our latest projects...
Oh, I'll tell them. We'll make them guess. We're going to make them guess about that. Oh, I think okay. We're going to make them guess, make them work. Well. And, of course, you don't want to forget one of the other things that happens is lunch. Mary Alice makes a delicious lunch, and everybody brings food, and you're here all morning. And yes. A lot gets done. So Mildred talked about special things they do, and I want you to watch what we take out of the bucket and pay attention and see if you can figure out. Yeah, think about what a towel is for. Yep. And what is this, do you think?
Shampoo.
And oh, this is a... Oh, this one, you know this one, right? Band-Aids. And you know this one? Soap. Oh, where did the tricky one go? Oh, man, I think I left out the tricky one. Because there is a special kind of soap that you use for doing laundry that's a bar soap that might be different than you use in your house. Yeah, I thought I'd left that one out. Okay. And, ta-da. Toothbrush and comb, and ta-da. Okay, so if you were going to, why would you give all this to somebody? What do you think? They don't have these things. I mean, I'm guessing most of you and most of us have every one of these things in our house. But Mildred, who might need these?
Well, people who have been misplaced because of, or displaced because of war, or maybe there's been a hurricane or something like that, and they've had to leave their home. And you know, I checked and I discovered that last year the MCC shipped almost 17,000 of these,
oh my goodness,
of these relief kits to different countries. And some went to Jordan, some to Bosnia, North Korea, Iraq, Serbia, Ukraine, and I don't know where all they're sending it now. Maybe some are going to Syria, but lots of different places all over the world.
Wow, towels around the world. Now, the important thing about today, too, is that for everyone in the congregation, you have your bulletins, and inside your bulletins is a paper insert with a list of all these things. And we would like everybody to help this service circle, these women who work so hard, to help them with this project. So you will be hearing more about it, but take your list, take it home, think about how you would like to participate. You can buy one of everything, you can buy 10 of one thing, you can give money. But let's all join together. Does that sound like a good idea? Yeah, great. Anything else we need to know, Mildred?
Well, I could also mention the plastic mats that we are crocheting. That's another one of our projects. But as far as the relief kits, there might be different ways we'll suggest that you return those. We'll let you know as the weeks go by. But there'll be a place for you to return the items, and probably out at the top of the steps out there for some of it.
Okay, so stay tuned. So children, we want to bless. Last week, Pastor Carolyn talked about blessing. Let's hold your hands out for these towels, because this stuff is going to go to a home, maybe with children, to help them stay healthy. Let us bless this kit and hope that it will be many, many, many more. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for things that help us be strong and clean and healthy, and we want to share. Bless the good work of these many women. Bless these children, and now extend your love around the world to all those places where children and women and families need help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 7 through 13. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy.
Por tanto, recíbanse uno al otro también. Cristo nos recibió, para la gloria de Dios. Pues les digo que Cristo Jesús vino a ser siervo de los judíos para mostrar la verdad de Dios, para confirmar las promesas hechas a nuestros antepasados y para que los que no son judíos glorifiquen a Dios por su misericordia, como está escrito.
As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.
Por tanto, yo te confesaré entre las naciones y cantaré salmos a tu nombre. Y en otra parte dice, alégrense naciones con su pueblo.
And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope.
Y también dice, alaben al Señor todas las naciones, y exáltenlo todos los pueblos. Y otra vez dice Isaías, se alza la raíz de Jesse, se levantará a gobernar las naciones, las cuales podrán en él su esperanza.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Que el Dios de la esperanza los llene de todo gozo y paz en la fe, para que rebosen de esperanza para el poder del Espíritu Santo.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Our preacher this morning is our very own Paul Aquilo, who is a member of this congregation, and someone who is well practiced in the themes of the scripture we just heard. So let's pray. God, we lift up your servant Paula as she delivers the message to us this morning. Grant us listening ears and attentive minds so that we may share in the insights and wisdom that she brings through the study of your word. Help each one of us to understand and to hold on to her words as we go about this day and this week. May the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Well, as Brian shared so eloquently at the beginning of our service today, I too stand here before you with a heavy heart. The news this week has been very disturbing. Just the latest round of world horrible events where innocent people were gassed, the United States and its allies struck back, sadly, in the name of peace. In our personal lives, there's also much going on. Much suffering all over the world, but right here, those of us who can reach out and touch one another with physical or mental illness, addictions, deep loss. We all have things that we bring with us to this space and are with us throughout our lives each week. So my prayer this morning is that our scripture from the Apostle Paul that you have just heard, and what I hope to share with you about that scripture, will be words of comfort and encouragement for us all. This scripture from the 15th chapter of Romans is a window into Paul, the preacher on fire for the gospel. Paul rejoicing to share the graciousness of God through Jesus Christ. And at the same time, in this letter to the Christians in Rome, more than any other, it reflects the full range of human challenges that Paul faces as a pastor of the word. These Christians close to the seat of power in the Roman world receive wise words that have also guided the church at points throughout history when government, culture, and faith collide, such as today. It is very important that we hold Paul's guidance for the Christian community in Rome, one that he has never visited, only reached by letter, with his heartfelt goal of communicating the power of this gospel, the gospel that he preaches, the gospel of Jesus Christ, open to all people, that God's gracious and abundant love is known through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is his message for us today. Now, our scripture is Paul's final wisdom and encouragement before ending this letter, a long letter to the Romans. This ending part, though, actually begins in the prior chapter with Paul's caution to the Romans and to us that they don't have all the answers. He cautions humility in daily actions and interpretation of scripture. And friends, something that you may find a comfort today, that we leave judgment to our God. It is from this position of humility that all of us, particularly anyone who leads in any way, as a way to approach our faith. We recognize that at a time when we rely on ourselves, our surety and knowledge will not provide a way forward for us, for the church, or our world. Only through centering our lives and our leadership and our community of congregations on Jesus will God's call for us be made clear. It's the only way. Paul follows this section on humility with an example from the purity laws around food. Another way that we get ourselves mixed up is when we bring black and white thinking to our approach to our faith. The Jews could not eat meat that had been part of idol sacrifice. For Gentiles, that was not an issue. For the lower classes in Rome, that sacrificial meat was the only meat they had to eat. So Paul cautions that applying the letter of the law to others can be a stumbling block rather than opening the way to the kingdom of God. The early followers of Jesus called themselves people of the way. They walked the road with Jesus and were committed to shaping their lives on Jesus the man, the Messiah, the Son of God. Here's how Jesus defined what that way looked like and looks like for us. From Luke 10, just then a lawyer stood up and asked Jesus, "Teacher, what is it I must do to inherit the kingdom of God?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" The lawyer answered, "That you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, that's the right answer. Do this and you will live. And then the lawyer asked Jesus, but who is my neighbor? And with that, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, turning the lawyer's world and his definition of neighbor completely upside down. This is Paul's message. Jesus expands our definition of life's meanings if we stay on his way. Again, from Romans 15, this time from the Message. I think this translation helps us see this passage more clearly. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it, now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to the insiders so that the old ancestral promises would come true for them. As a result, the outsiders have been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true if we do this. Christ is the basis for the unity of people confirmed in his coming. God fulfilled the promises to the people of Israel and through them to all humankind. This is the gospel for all of us. I personally have also found it helpful to understand how Paul describes connecting with our neighbors. You heard this in the Ephesians 4 confession of faith that Brian shared this morning. Being humble, not being so certain in our beliefs, without judgment, and avoiding becoming a self-righteous stumbling block. Paul described unity in the gospel as self-sacrificial love of the faithful, welcoming space for everyone. This is the faithful church. This is how we respond to the centuries of faithfulness from our God. Paul does not describe the church as one focused inwardly or in agreement on all things, but a faithful church is a space of unity centered on Christ and his saving love, a space of love and grace. It was into that kind of congregation that I was introduced to the Mennonite Church in 1980. I had not been in a church of any kind for many years. I was invited by the man I would later marry, and he started attending this congregation after he saw a news clip of people being arrested after they had protested around the nuclear facility in that town. And when a reporter stuck the microphone in the face of a little white-haired lady who was being taken into custody, he asked her, "Why are you doing this?" And she said, "Because I'm the church secretary at this particular church, and because of my faith in Jesus Christ." We had to check out that church. Now, this story interested me, even though I was certainly no Christian activist. In fact, at that time, I wasn't sure about God at all. So I went to the church with many questions and many doubts, but I was welcomed, and I was welcomed without question. In that first worship service, a woman stood to preach. That seemed very normal to me. And she could have been my mother. And I could not tell you what she said, but there was only one conversation happening, and it was between her and me. And I was transformed. In a Mennonite church, I was transformed. This first Mennonite community that I was part of practiced Ephesians 4 lives together. Patience, humility, gentleness, bearing with one another in love. These actions or practices are what Paul describes as maturity in the faith, and they do take practice. As a conference, and as you know, I'm on the conference board, we have committed ourselves to spiritual practices that we pray will bend us all toward Christ and form us more deeply as Christ followers. Our conference invites all of us to commit to following these practices that are embedded in our confession of faith. I'll read them to you from the conference brochure. We will worship God as the central act of our common life together. We will practice prayer, fasting, and generous giving. We will prayerfully study the Bible together. We will accept and offer hospitality, believing it creates the context for Christ's kingdom to appear in our midst. We will study the Bible with neighbors and strangers, inviting them to become disciples of Jesus. We will practice peacemaking. We believe that by committing ourselves together to work at these practices, God will bring transformation toward Christ-likeness and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual practices like these lead us toward a deep faithfulness, unlike the black and white letter of the law that we saw in the lawyer who questioned Jesus. Practices will be our signposts and will confirm that we are headed toward beauty, goodness, and truthfulness. Practices will form us as a community grounded in the love of God for the world. Practices can sustain us on days like today when violence and death are so close. So what do practices centered on Jesus hold for Prairie Street? Well, James Crable is the editor of the Mennonite Mission Network series, Missio Dei, and the most recent one, I think, has an important word for our community. It speaks to the rural church, but I think it also speaks to any church that is looking at itself carefully. The author of this particular one is Mennonite pastor, missionary Brad Roth, who currently is in Mount Ridge, Kansas. Prairie Street is at a pivotal point, as Brian noted earlier. We're moving into a time of uncertainty with the ending of Pastor Nelson's leadership among us. Many note our lower attendance. But do numbers really define decline or failure? Brad Roth would tell us that we're looking at the wrong criteria, that we're looking through the wrong lens of who is the faithful church. Church growth is not our work, it is God's. It is God's Holy Spirit blowing through us, stirring things up, and sending people out. The Holy Spirit will heal and revitalize the church and the world. So what are we to do? We are called to respond to God's faithfulness throughout the ages by opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit's transformational movement in us and through us. And we do this through practices, through intentional focus on the ancient practices of the church, through prayer. Pastor Roth points out that church strategies that are successful always start with prayer. When we center on our lives on Jesus through practices, we live the gospel and share the gospel. Many of us remember a time here at Prairie Street when we had a desire to share the gospel through young adults living next door at Jubilee House. Many of you worked on making it a welcoming space. More of you prayed. I was not here at that time. And you prayed for a long, long time. And then there were seeds of new life. And then there were people who were interested in being here. And then there were many young adults who have served this community and all of its important agencies for more than the last 10 years. That happened because of prayer. What new life will we experience now if we deepen our practice of prayer for transformation? Pastor Francis reminded us before Easter of the Genesis story of Abraham and Sarah, both falling down or standing up and laughing hysterically when God told them that they would be the ancestors of his people in their old age. Francis asked us to consider if Prairie Street was a very old congregation or one about to open itself to transformation of life in Jesus. If we redefine how we look at ourselves, will we become transformed people of the way? Will we become the people of the gospel for all people? Again, from Paul's words. Then we will join the outsiders in a hymn sing. We will sing your name. Outsiders and insiders rejoice together. People of all nations will celebrate God. All colors, all races give hearty praise. And Isaiah's word. There's the root of our, our ancestor Jesse, breaking through the earth and growing tree tall, tall enough for everyone to see and take hope. Oh, may the God of green hope fill you, fill us, and fill Prairie Street with joy. Fill us with peace so that our believing lives, filled with the life-giving energy of the Holy Spirit, will brim over with hope. Centered and held together in Jesus, who is the gospel for all people. Amen.
Take your hymnal and turn to number 327. Hymn number 327, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And let's stand up to sing.